Better is the end of a thing than its beginning, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. I am Rob West. Ecclesiastes 7:8 encourages us to be patient in trials of all kinds, including our investments. If patience is a virtue, how do we apply that to our portfolios? I'll talk about it today with Mark Biller, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, my guest today is Mark Biller. He's executive editor at Sound Mind Investing. And if there was ever a time for sound mind investing, it's now with all the ups and downs on Wall Street. Mark, great to have you back with us.
Thanks, Rob. Good to be back with you.
Well, Mark, as you might imagine, we're getting calls every day from folks who are despondent about the losses they've suffered over the past year in their portfolios. So maybe we can start today with some encouragement. What would you share with them?
Yeah, well, Rob, I think the first thing I'd do is remind them that time is on the side of the long-term investor. And this has always been true. It was true after the big losses, after the 2008 financial crisis. It was true after the COVID shock a couple years ago in 2020. And it's still true after last year's losses, whether or not this bear market is over yet. And then I'd try to encourage them, Rob, with the fact that the U.S. stock market has been remarkably resilient over longer periods of time. If you take a portfolio, divide it just 50-50 between large and small company stocks, over the last 95 years or so, that portfolio has returned about 11% per year. And you just think about everything the market has been through over that time span, the Great Depression, a world war, and so on and so forth. So over long periods of time, there's a lot to be optimistic about.
Yeah, and that's certainly encouraging. It, of course, doesn't tell us what the return will be this year, though, right?
No, it certainly doesn't. And that average does obscure some really wild rides along the way. You know, we've had 12-month periods where stock market losses were as horrifying as 69%, gains as breathtaking as 240%, and actually those two periods came back to back in 1932 and 33. So it can be a very wild ride, and it's interesting to note that it's actually really uncommon for stocks to return close to that 11% average in any particular year. Only about 5% of those 12-month rolling periods over the last century have been within 1% of that 11% average. So what that means is that the stock market's returns tend to be all over the place. You have big up years, big down years, and yet if you can hold on and remember that time is on your side over the long term, then the greater the likelihood of your success and getting those long-term 11% type returns.
Yeah, and that's a really key point. Of course, Mark Biller with us today, and he'll be tackling in this first portion of the broadcast your questions on investments, your portfolio, the market, the economy. We'd love to hear from you with questions for Mark Biller today. 800-525-7000. We'll be getting to those questions in just a bit. Mark, I would, of course, add that patience is on the side of the long-term investor. You write about all this in a recent article at SoundMindInvesting.org. It's titled Market Probabilities, What the Past Suggests About the Future. And you have a really interesting chart that unfortunately we can't show on the radio, but maybe you can give us a mental picture here before our first break.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd also encourage listeners to go to your website or to soundmindinvesting.org and check out this chart because the visual is really helpful. But basically, it just shows that if you randomly picked any 12-month period from 1926 to 2022 to own stocks, you would have had a 74% chance of making money over that 12-month period. And then the chart also shows these same types of probabilities for holding periods of 1 year, 2 year, 3 years, all the way out to 10-year holding periods. And that's where the numbers are really so reassuring, because as you get out to the 5-year holding periods, losses only occurred in about 11% of those 5-year holding periods. So your likelihood of making money is 89% over a 5-year period. It gets even better as you go out to 8 to 10 years.
Really helpful, Mark. Well, we'll continue this conversation just around the corner. Your questions, 800-525-7000. We'll talk about diversification and who needs an advisor. Much more with Mark Biller just around the corner. Stay with us.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Watch your mouth. That's something every child, and especially teenager, hears at some point in their life. In the heat of the moment, things are said that hurt. Things can be said that burn stability down. The Apostle James understood this. The tongue is the smallest member, but it can cause great damage. Just like a devastating wildfire can be started by the smallest of sparks. Watch your mouth. The tongue is a fire. In the heat of the moment, your words might start a fire that you won't be able to extinguish, but by the Spirit, the wisdom from above, the Lord strengthens us to restrain our tongues. And better, we can learn to use our tongues for praise. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit GetAnchored.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
Thanks for listening to AFR. I'm Tim Watson.
Bro, no way that just happened.
Yeah, this radio is old, man.
Wait, you have Roku, don't you?
Yeah, but how's that gonna help us?
Dude, AFR's on Roku now.
Oh, seriously?
Yes, where's your remote? All right, here we go.
We're in the same,
You are a genius.
Oh, yeah.
American Family Radio, available on Apple and Android products, Amazon Alexa, and now available on Roku.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. For this first version of the broadcast, we're delighted to have Mark Biller with us today. He's executive editor at Sound Mind Investing. You can learn more at soundmindinvesting.org. You can also read the article we're discussing today. It's titled Market Probabilities, What the Past Suggests About the Future. And Mark, just before the break, you were sharing about a chart that folks can see for themselves when they check out soundmindinvesting.org. But especially in the midst of the volatility that we're experiencing right now, Mark, this chart can be fairly reassuring, especially when you look at these holding periods and how the market has performed. You know, when you get to 5 years or more, it's pretty encouraging, isn't it?
Yeah, the probability of making money over a 5-year holding period has been 89%. And as you get out to 8 to 10 year holding periods, the likelihood of losing money falls to just 2 to 3% of all of those 8 to 10 year rolling periods. So when you look at it in that light, Rob, you know, a 98 or 97% chance of making money is pretty good. And that's why SMI and most other financial advisors typically will tell people that you need at least a five-year holding period in order to be in stock investments. And really, a 10-year holding period is better. And this is the type of data that backs up those statements.
Yeah. And this, of course, chart reflects a period of time from 1926 all the way through 2022. So this is a pretty large span of time. And you can look at any 12-month period in that time and see how this breaks down. Again, you can check that out at soundmindinvesting.org. By the way, in just a moment, we'll be getting to your questions from Mark Biller today. Perhaps you're wondering about your own stock portfolio. How should you think about this volatility? Are you invested properly for your age and risk tolerance? Where's the economy going? Whenever you'd like to chat about investment related for this portion of the broadcast, we'd love to hear from you. With lines open, 800-525-7000. Give us a call. Now, Mark, going back to the chart for a moment, this assumes certain things in terms of the performance that we're talking about, like that your portfolio is being properly diversified, correct?
Yeah, very much so. This study really reinforces the importance of diversification. You know, in the article, we note that the S&P 500 index, which is what a lot of people pay attention to, but that's really just a measure of large company stock performance. That index was actually negative, minus 1.4%, over the 10-year period that ended in 2008. But if we diversify that portfolio very simply by just splitting it evenly between large and small company stocks, that 10-year loss flips to a small gain. So, you know, one of the main points of this article and the chart that we're talking about is to show how volatile these stock market returns are over the short term, but how that volatility rapidly diminishes as you stretch out your time horizon. So the big thing to take away from this discussion, Rob, is that over the short term, returns are very unpredictable, but they become much more predictable the longer the time horizon extends.
Yeah, that's really helpful. All right, we're going to continue this conversation with Mark Biller. Plus, we want to get to some of your questions today related to the market and your investment portfolio, 800-525-7000. Let's head to Kentucky. Elijah, go ahead.
Yes, sir. One of our bank offering 4.5% for five-year CD. Is that a good idea?
Yeah, I mean, there's better rates than that when you're talking about going out 5 years. You can do about as well as that, perhaps even a bit higher than 4.5 with an online bank, even at 18 months. But, Mark, just in general, who would you say CDs are for? And do you like where rates are at right now in terms of that being a viable option for your very safe money?
Yeah, I do. You know, it's the first time in 15 years that savers have actually had good options for savings accounts. And that includes things like money market funds. It includes CDs. So these are things that have really been kind of off the table for a long time. So it's kind of fun and encouraging to be able to talk about them again. To your point, Rob, I wouldn't be super enthusiastic about tying up my money for 5 years here, especially when just a good online bank money market fund is probably yielding something close to that, 4 to 4.5%, and you could probably do a 6-month to 1-year Treasury bond at Treasury Direct. And get similar rates. So 5 years for that type of rate, you know, you give up a lot. You give up a lot of flexibility. But on the flip side, if you know you're not going to need that money and you want to lock in these rates, if you're concerned that rates could go down, then maybe you would want to lock in a little bit more duration, a little more time. But generally, I would tend to preserve the flexibility, go for a shorter-term instrument, Maybe even just a money market fund, which gives you ultimate flexibility. A lot of it, Rob, of course, depends on what your goals are. So if this is money that is absolutely designated for emergency savings, it's not going anywhere else, that's one thing. If this is money that you might want to take advantage if the market were to have a big decline and want to have some of that capital available to buy low, you know, we always want to buy low and sell high, but the really hard part of that is buying low.
Yeah.
So, you know, having that dry powder, that flexibility to take some of that cash that you have on hand and deploy it, if we do see a real steep drop at some point, you know, that can be a real advantage. So those would be my thoughts. Do you have anything else to add, Rob?
No, I think that's very good. Bankrate.com is a great resource, Elijah, for you to compare CD products. You'll find 5-star rated FDIC insured online banks paying, to Mark's point, you know, I'm seeing 5% for 14 months. So just be sure you shop it around. Mark, I think one key point to make, though, is for folks that are in the market and just frustrated about the volatility, this is not the time, as attractive as these rates are, to pull it out of the market while it's down to take advantage, quote unquote, of these rates when you're going to miss the recovery. And that's going to really affect that data you were just sharing with us, because if we try to time the market, we're probably going to get it wrong, right?
Yeah, the data is pretty clear that most individuals, when they try to make those types of timing decisions, end up shooting themselves in the foot. So I would agree with that. Yep.
Yeah, very good. Quickly to Texas, Pat, you're next on the program. Go ahead.
Yes, I was wondering, I have invested, my husband passed away, and I moved his money over to my account, but they put it in a 5-year deal where I can't move it for 5 years. But it's not making anything. It's just in a money market. My question is, should I move that money and pay the penalty before I make something?
Is this at an annuity, Pat? An insurance product?
Well, it's with Jackson's Finance, so yes.
Okay. All right. Let's do this. We've got to hit a quick break. Pat, if you're able to hold, I want to get Mark to weigh in on this, but I want to give him plenty of time to answer your question and perhaps even ask a follow-up question or two. So you stay right there. As soon as we come back from the break, we'll unpack that question and talk about perhaps some options for you. We'll also get Mark's take on the banking sector in light of everything that's gone on over the last week or week and a half. Plus, more on this article today that we've been discussing from soundmindinvesting.org. Market probabilities, what the past suggests about the future. You can read it and check out this chart we've been discussing at soundmindinvesting.org. More of your questions, 800-525-7000, just around the corner. Stay with us.
Dear 1 million moms, I've always thought that maybe your organization was making a mountain out of a molehill. But today, I cannot believe what I just saw on my TV.
Concerned about the trash flowing into your home through today's media that simply will not censor itself? Make your voice heard. If you see trash in the media, tell us. Use the Submit Trash button at 1millionmoms.com. That's 1millionmoms.com. And thanks.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's cards that give to missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
What does the American Family Association stand for? AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government. These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
My wife's aunt passed away, and we received a considerable inheritance from that. We talked to the people at AFA Foundation, and they were very caring. What excites us about the charitable gift annuity is we will always have income coming in. It will be steady. We won't outlive it.
See if a charitable gift annuity is right for you. Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Joining me today, my good friend Mark Biller, executive editor at Sound Mind Investing. We're talking today about their recent article, Market Probabilities, What the Past Suggests About the Future. Really some encouragement, especially if you've been frustrated or concerned about the market volatility and its action on your own portfolio. I think this will reassure you about the wisdom in being a long-term, properly diversified investor. If you have a question today for Mark Biller in this portion of the broadcast related to your investments, the economy, even what's going on with the banking sector, which we'll talk about here in a moment, give us a call, 800-525-7000. We've got a few lines open. Just before the break, we were talking to Pat. Pat's husband passed away. She has a portfolio that sounds like is in an insurance product. You believe you're not getting a whole lot in the way of return on that. I think you perhaps need to do a little more digging just to find out if there's some sort of guaranteed return on it. But Pat, you're wondering if you should pull it out of this product and look for another alternative that could increase the yield, but you believe there's a penalty. My screen says that you think that could be as much as 6%. Is that right, that penalty?
Yes, that's what it is. And Okay. Someone told me to pull it out and put it in with U.S. Treasury bills that I could get 4.5%, so I'd be losing 2% a year until it drops down. So I'm not real sure what I should do.
Yeah, very good. Mark, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, Pat, unfortunately, you know, this is pretty typical with annuity-type products, and it's why when these questions come up, we're pretty consistent about usually being lukewarm on annuities, just because one of the features of annuities is they typically have these types of penalties to lock you in. So in your specific case, if you're going to end up paying a 6% penalty to move to an investment that's going to pay you 4.5%, say, you're upside down there. There's almost no chance of coming out ahead with any type of bond or savings-type investment product. So unfortunately, if you're wanting to keep that money safe, which I assume you want to invest this safely and stick with bonds, cash-type products, then you're probably better off staying put, even though you may not be getting a real attractive rate of return right now. At least it's something positive, and we don't want to flip that to a negative return or a loss. Even if this were, say, a younger person that had inherited this and wanted to go to a stock allocation, I'd still be hesitant just because that 6% haircut is such a high bar to clear with whatever investment you're hoping to make money on the other side of this, that it just makes it a pretty dicey odds whether you're going to come out ahead on that. So my thought, Pat, would be to sit tight, take the smaller positive return until that penalty is gone. Perhaps look into whether that penalty diminishes with time. Sometimes that is the case. So it might be 6% initially, but that falls over time. And that may put you in a position before the whole holding period is up where you could make a change, but it doesn't seem like a good idea right now. Rob, yeah. Any other thoughts?
No, I think you're exactly right. So I'd probably, A, get some more information, Pat, to see, A, first of all, when does this penalty go away or come down? And then, B, get a little better clarity on what guaranteed return you're getting on this product in the meantime. And then hopefully we find a better time for you to make a transition when you're not going to pay such a steep penalty to come out of this. And if you have other questions along the way, don't hesitate to reach out to us. Thanks for being a part of the program. We've got some lines open today. Your questions for Mark Biller on the market and your portfolio. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Mark, we haven't asked about the banking sector yet. Obviously, a lot going on there. We've seen not only the event occur, starting with Silicon Valley Bank and then spreading to a few others, but we've seen the government response. What's your take just on whether this is something that's very isolated and somewhat behind us, or whether we're going to still see this spill over into other banks perhaps going forward?
Yeah, that is a great question, Rob. And the simple answer is we don't know yet. And there really is no way to know yet. And that is because the nature of the banking system. You may have heard the terms that we have a fractional reserve banking system. And all that means simply is that banks take in deposits from individuals. And then most of those deposits are not held at the bank. There's no vault with all of that cash sitting around. They take those deposits and they lend that out in the form of mortgages, commercial property loans, personal loans, business loans, all that kind of stuff. And so as long as the economy is growing, that system tends to work great because most of the people don't need their money back at any particular point. So that fractional reserve with most of the cash being out in the economy and out in businesses works great. The problem is when the economy contracts, there's always that potential that more people start wanting their cash back from the bank. And if we get to an extreme imbalance where enough people are asking for their cash back, the bank doesn't have it. They have investments, and those are often tied up in loans. And even if they own something as safe as a short-term government treasury bill, that's still a loan to the government. So what we've seen with this recent crisis is a situation where at these specific few banks, a lot of the depositors were asking for their cash back for some very specific reasons that were specific to those banks, and the banks had to sell some of their very safe investments. We're talking about treasury bonds, mortgage-backed securities. This is safe stuff. This isn't dodgy investments, which was kind of the issue back in 2008. But these banks had to sell at a loss, and that put them out of balance on their balance sheet. So there is a risk that this could continue to spread, but it's not clear that that's going to happen.
Yeah. All right, we'll continue to unpack that, plus your questions with Mark Biller. A quick break, and then back with more after this. Stay with us.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
As Christians, we cannot redefine marriages because ours do not turn out according to God's standard. We have to aim for the mark. And the mark, it's not happily ever after. This is a picture of Christ in the church. So God has invited us as two individuals becoming one to be a living billboard of what he did for us.
Airing the Addisons, weekday afternoons at 2 Central on American Family Radio.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries.
I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
45,000. That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
And running down, I missed the last two steps, and I fell and broke my back. And I did not have to have surgery.
Have you ever been encouraged by AFR?
I tell you, it's a miracle how that was.
Whether it's a life-changing event or just a helpful voice in your day, we'd like to hear how AFR has been there for you. Call 877-876-8893 and tell us your story. That's 877-876-8893.
Praise the Lord, and thank God for AFR.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We're talking with Mark Biller today, executive editor at Sound Mind Investing. We're going to head back to the phones here in just a moment for more of your questions. First, Mark, you were sharing about our fractional reserve banking system and some of the challenges that precipitated what we saw occur over the last week, especially given that as the money that's taken in deposits is then loaned out and there's investments on their balance sheet, those investments, especially those longer-term treasuries, have lost a lot of value as interest rates have been rising so rapidly. So when they're trying to free up capital, if there's a large amount of deposits coming out, they're selling at a loss. And that was obviously a difficult situation for Silicon Valley, in particular because it seemed like they didn't manage their risk portfolio very well. Is that really the issue here? Are there other banks that have, you know, not managed their portfolios well, or could it be beyond that?
Yeah, so I think that Silicon Valley did a particularly poor job of that, and they had some very unique circumstances with their depositor base is very concentrated in high-tech startup-type companies. So their situation is kind of unique, but the structure we were just talking about is pretty universal. That's just the banking business. Yeah. And that's why we can't really say that the problem is over and there won't be any issues. But this is crucial, Rob. There are really two different lenses to view this through. One is through the lens of a depositor at a bank. I have a bank account where I have deposits. The other is, what is the potential for this to be a disruption to the markets as an investor? There are two very good reasons why, as a depositor, most listeners can have a lot of confidence that they are not in danger. First of all, the FDIC provides insurance to individual depositors at FDIC-insured banks of up to $250,000. So in these types of situations, if your account at your bank, as long as it's an FDIC-insured bank, which most of them are, you really have very little to worry about in terms of losing the money you have deposited at the bank. Then beyond that, what happened a week ago was the Fed and the regulators basically beefed up that that insurance, if you will, and they didn't make this universal, but the trend is clear that with these banks that have been running into trouble, they are extending that $250,000 even beyond that. So the point of this, Rob, is for all but very, very unusual individuals and a little bit larger businesses, if you're under $250,000 in your bank, your money is pretty safe. You're insured on that. So you don't need to worry about this as a depositor. Where we could run into more problems is most businesses need more than $250,000 of cash liquidity just to run their business. You think about making payroll for a larger company, they're going to need more cash. So what this is doing is these businesses are looking at these smaller regional banks and saying, I really can't afford to keep my larger accounts with these more local banks. I have to move them to the big banks, the dozen or so really big banks, the JP Morgans and so forth. And so that movement is just exacerbating this issue for these regional banks as these business accounts are pulling deposits from them. It's just kind of reinforcing this same hamster wheel problem that we're talking about. And that's why it's really difficult to say, well, no, we're at the end of this. We can't say that. We don't know. I mean, it could be that we're at the end of this and this is all we're going to see, but it could also be that as this tightening credit dynamic, which is what we've been talking about for a year now with the Fed raising interest rates and draining financial liquidity out of the system, that this could be more of the early warning signs that contracting credit dynamic is causing problems that are just now starting to surface. So as an investor, that's something that I'm concerned about because that has the potential to roil the investment markets. But as a depositor, I'm not worried about losing the money that I have in the bank. Does that make sense?
It sure does. And it's obviously all about confidence in the system that you're going to be able to get your deposits when you need them. And the government understands that. And that's why Treasury Secretary Yellen even today is out with some prepared marks in a speech she's giving that she's saying, you know, we're willing to take the appropriate actions to guarantee deposits even beyond the 250 if the banking crisis worsens. So they understand that confidence is really key, right?
Absolutely, they do. And I know this can be complicated. I've actually written two fairly detailed articles about this on our soundmindinvesting.org website in the last week. So if people want to learn more about this and kind of take their time walking through this, I think those two articles will be really helpful for them.
Very good. Soundmindinvesting.org. Let's head back to the phones. Jackie in Colorado. Go right ahead. Hi, Jackie. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. Hello. We have like $200,000 in an intermediate bond market. It's non-qualified. It was just cash for us. And, of course, that lost like 13%.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have plenty of other cash money. So I'm just wondering what would be good to do in that situation, if we're diversified in the right way in the other money that we have in qualified accounts, do we expect intermediate bonds to do something good? I mean, are we waiting 5 years anyway? So then do we put it into stocks, half of it, or what do you think?
Yeah, great question, Jackie. Mark, your thoughts?
Yeah, so Jackie, being in bonds has been tough over the last 18 months or so. This has been the worst bear market for bonds in many decades. And so the longer the term of the bond, the more painful that's been. Long-term bonds have been the worst. Intermediate term, a little bit less bad. Short-term, a little bit less bad than that. The good news for bond investors at this point is that we've had this long rate hiking cycle, and we've had a very dramatic move in interest rates. it appears as if the economy is slowly weakening and perhaps heading towards a recession. And of course, that is not good news overall. However, for bond investors, interest rates almost always fall during recessions. And as interest rates decline, bond prices go up. So bond funds tend to do very well in the type of environment that we're kind of expecting is going to play out over probably the rest of this year. Now, this doesn't mean that, you know, put all your money in bonds and leave it there for 10 years, you know, and that's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is you've endured quite a bit of pain over the last many months, and I think that the next several months to a year, year and a half are going to be much better for bond investors. I would not be in a hurry to move that money at this point.
Excellent. Thanks for your comments on that. Jackie, thank you for your call. Mark Biller with us today, being very generous with his time. A few more questions. Angie, Mark, Lynn, we're coming your way after the break. Much more just around the corner on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Stick around. We'll be right back.
What would you do?
Aunt Sadie, I appreciate your thought behind the gift card, but I just can't take it. I promise not to shop at Target because they allow men in areas that need to be private and protected for women and children. I hope you'll go to afa.net/target and learn about it. I'm not giving them my money.
Aunt Sadie didn't know about AFA's call to boycott Target, but she knows now, and so do you. Learn even more at afa.net/target. afa.net/target.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances, and FaithFi is here to help you and many others to be wise stewards of God's resources. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from FaithFi patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Please consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron. Visit faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. With me today, Mark Biller. Hey, before we get back to the phones, are you looking for a way to manage your spending plan, have more visibility into where your money's going, and control the flow of money so you can stay on budget and accomplish what God has called you to do? Well, the FaithFi app might help you do just that. With our simple, beautiful interface, you can set up your budget, and using the digital envelope system, you can manage it really simply and stay on the same page with your spouse at the same time. To check it out or download it today, you can head to our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com, and then just click app. And we're talking today with Mark Biller about the markets, the banking sector, and specifically a new article at soundmindinvesting.org that you'll want to check out. It's entitled Market Probabilities, What the Past Suggests About the Future, that I think will be really encouraging to you, especially if you've been frustrated by recent market losses and volatility. Let's head back to the phones to Tennessee. Hi, Mark. Go right ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Mark? Good morning.
Great to have you. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I just had a question about your feelings on 401ks after 59 and a half and you're going into retirement. You know, what's a wise position to take? Is it, you know, a rollover? Is it, you know, because you hear a lot about Roth IRAs, or you take a portion, leave a portion, or leave the whole thing in?
Yeah. couple of questions for you, Mark, and then we'll get Mark Biller to weigh in. So you have retired, or retirement is upcoming?
Retirement's upcoming.
Okay. And how much do you have roughly in this portfolio?
Neighborhood of 600,000.
Okay. And have you done your retirement budget? Do you have a good sense of what it will take when you get to retirement to fund your lifestyle?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I think okay. so.
All right. And what will be your income sources in retirement to cover that? Will it be Social Security? Will you have to draw an income from this portfolio to supplement that?
No. I mean, you still have Social Security, retirement from a company. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, the 401k, it would be something, be like a supplementary thing.
Okay, so you wouldn't expect to have to draw any regular income. You think the other retirement sources, your company retirement plus Social Security, should cover your bills?
Yeah, I think it should. This would be something to where you would have it, and it would be something to where if, you know, investments or anything else, you know.
Sure, yep. And is your main question about whether to roll it out or leave it, or how it should be invested in retirement?
How it should be invested, you know.
Okay.
I mean, you hear a lot of things about, you know, like I said, you got Roths, you have Roth 401ks, just, you know, different kind of investment situations.
Okay.
So I was just trying to see, you know, as far as like, you know, upcoming and how the market seemed to be moving.
Yeah, very good. So, Mark, maybe an explanation just on the type of account, but also then the investments in the account, given this will be really excess that will be available to be managed and grow it, but he doesn't need it to live on in retirement.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark, these are good questions to be asking as you're approaching retirement. I think the biggest thing to understand is that whether your money is in a 401k or an IRA, whether that's a Roth IRA, traditional IRA, all these different labels, these are all different types of accounts that you can largely own the same investments within any of these types of accounts. So the decision of, do I keep the money in a 401k or move it to an IRA, is really a decision based on a couple of things. One, can I invest the money the way I want to within my 401k? So for someone who's very content in index funds and they have those options in their 401k, they don't really have any changes they want to make to how they're investing, then as long as the 401k is a relatively cost-effective tool, which a lot of them are, it's always good to check on the expenses you're paying. But as long as your expenses are reasonable and you don't have a desire to make changes to your investments, then staying in the 401k is going to be easier and probably is going to be perfectly fine for that person. Where the advantage sometimes comes into moving to the IRA is if someone has limited options in their 401k and they really want to be investing their money differently, but they don't have access to those choices. Then moving over, rolling it to an IRA can open up the options that you have from an investing standpoint. So that's how I would kind of distinguish between the two. But you want to be careful because a lot of times the IRA is going to be slightly more expensive just because as you move into other investment types away from the index funds that tend to dominate within 401ks, you can end up paying more fees. So that's something to keep an eye on. You know, as far as how to invest that money, generally as you're moving into retirement, you want to keep getting a little bit more conservative on a gradual basis. But at age 59 and a half, you also have to be thinking there's a very good chance that you could live 2-3 more decades and need that money to last. So you don't want to get too conservative too fast. You want to just kind of roll that down the risk gradually as you move into retirement. Does that kind of help address your questions, Mark?
Yeah, I mean that makes sense. You know, I did hear about people saying sometimes it's better to leave it in the 401k because of fees, et cetera. You know, it's just as far as with drawing, how you go about drawing, and do you draw it and then put it in something else? I know the tax risks and everything. So, you know, it gives you something to think about.
Good. Yeah. Mark, did you have another thought, Mark Biller?
No, I think that's it. How about you,
Very
Rob?
Good. Yeah, no, I think you're exactly right. I mean, the only other consideration, Mark, would just be if you want an advisor. This is a lot of money. You've spent a lot of time building this wealth, and if you'd rather have an advisor who's given more direct oversight to it, an IRA is probably going to give you that flexibility that you don't have in the 401k. But as Mark Biller said, if you're happy with what you have and you've taken the appropriate steps to stay invested but get more conservative, commensurate with your age, then you certainly could stay right there. Thanks for your call today. We appreciate it. To Georgia, hi, Angie. Go right ahead.
Yeah. Good morning. Good afternoon.
Hi there.
First of all, I am 54 and I'm retired. So I have a 401k retirement. I have money in a Roth IRA, and then I have some other money in a qualified conservative individual account, which I draw off of monthly. It's not much, but I do. And right now, it's not making anything. It is losing. My thought was transferring this over to a annuity with a 3% or 3.5% lifetime that's locked in. I just need to know, is that a smart move or not?
Yeah, Mark, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, the annuities, like we were talking about earlier on the program, often will lock you in. So you want to be really sure before you make that move that you like that type of return. If that's a relatively small piece of your overall pie, then having that guaranteed return could be appealing, and it may be worth considering that. I would definitely have a lot more reservation if you were wanting to take the bulk of this, like your Roth IRA or your 401k, and lock that in, because you do have to consider what's the impact of inflation, and is that 3 to 3.5% return even going to keep your purchasing power even relative to inflation over time. I'd say that's close to a 50-50 type of proposition with the way inflation looks right now. So if it's a small piece and that gives you some peace of mind to know that you have that guaranteed income piece, then that's okay. Just keep an eye, as always, with annuities on the fees and expenses there. Rob, your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think that's great counsel. Angie, I hope that helps you. Thanks for being a part of the program today. God bless you. Well, Mark, we've covered a lot of ground today. Any final thoughts on this article we've been discussing before we wrap up?
No, I think that, you know, the main point, Rob, again, is have that long-term perspective. You know, there's a lot going on right now. There's a lot of kind of fear-based headlines flying around right now. And just step back, take a deep breath, pray, ask for guidance, ask for peace, and try to maintain that long-term perspective, because time really is on the side of the long-term investor.
Yeah, very good. And Mark, if they want more information, where do they go to get that?
Soundmindinvesting.org.
All right. Thanks for being with us, my friend. We're grateful for you.
Thanks, Rob. Always my pleasure.
All right. Lynn, you've been holding patiently in Oregon. I appreciate your question. We're just about out of time. You wanted to know about a will being drawn up by an attorney, and does it need to be filed for legality? You know, the key is the probate court is going to require access to the original before it can process your estate. So you've got to keep it where it's safe and accessible. I wouldn't put it in a bank safe deposit box or other location where your family may need a court order to gain access. So probably just a waterproof and fireproof safe. And then best to have your executor and your attorney have signed copies as well. The executor will give the verified copy to the court in terms of making sure that is handled properly with the probate court. But that's the most important thing, that it's safe and accessible and in the hands of the people that need it. Lynn, thanks for being with us today. Folks, that's going to do it for us. On behalf of my team today, Robert Sutherland, Devin Patrick, and Pat Montague, I'm Rob West. Mark Biller also with us today. covered a lot of ground, so thankful for your calls and questions today. Hope you have a great rest of your day, and come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.